This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the tape, please. This is number 3 in the Circumcision Wars, and you will remember how that the Jews insisted upon physical circumcision whenever there was a proselyte, and how that, with that process of circumcision, they became a Jew or part of the greater Jewish nation, even though it was in the diaspora. And Paul's whole problem that he has in the book of Galatians is that there were those who were teaching that in order for the Gentiles to be finalized as Christians, they had to follow the proselytizing of the Jews and receive the circumcision in the flesh. And once they did that, the teachers then taught them to do other works of Judaism because this made them in better standing with God. This is the whole controversy that we have here in Galatians, the second chapter. Let's review just a little bit here of that. Let's come to Galatians 2 and verse 9. This was when Paul went up to Jerusalem. Galatians 2 and verse 9. And after having understood the grace that was given to me, James and Cephas and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, affirming that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. Their only request was that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was also diligent to do. When Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Now, Peter was the apostle to the circumcision. In other words, to the Jews who still followed the circumcision. Because he was to be condemned. However, what went along, one of the errors that they had with the circumcision party was that they insisted on following the rules of Judaism. We'll see that. Verse 12, because before certain ones came from James, he was eating together with the Gentiles. Now, we're going to go back and we're going to understand about that a little later. However, when they came, he drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles, that is, being afraid of those of the circumcision, showing that it was a political move. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy, the King James says dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, now this is very important for Peter as we will see. I said to Peter in the presence of them all, if you being a Jew are living like the Gentiles and not according to Judaism, why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize? That is to be separate. So one of the laws of Judaism that they had, and please understand, this has nothing to do with keeping the commandments of God, which we are commanded to do, but this has to do concerning the religious laws of the traditions of the Jews in Judaism. And so one of the big problems with the development of the New Testament church was that separation from the synagogue and separation from the laws of Judaism, which compelled the Jews to remain separate, don't even come into the presence of Gentiles and treat them as completely unclean. Now, let's finish this section here. Verse 14. When I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, if you, being a Jew, are living like the Gentiles and not according to Judaism, why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize? We are who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of law. That is the key. By works of law. Now, justification means the forgiveness of sin, so you are put in right standing with God in heaven above. No law can do that. No law was designed to bring justification. When the temple stood, they still had their sacrifices, which justified them to the temple. But as Paul wrote in Hebrews, the sacrifices of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It didn't take it away. But the forgiveness through Christ removes a sin, and that is by faith and not by works. So that's why they understood the gospel, and they knew, and Peter well knew, that a man is not justified by works of law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Christ Jesus, in order that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by works of law, because by works of law shall no faith be justified. And that is the whole crux of the circumcision wars. Not only circumcision in the flesh, but also to practice the rules of Judaism. Now then, if we are seeking to be justified in Christ, and we ourselves are found to be sinners, is then Christ the minister of sin? And he says, may it never be. For if I build again the things that I destroyed. Now what was he? As we saw in the first chapter of Galatians, that he was one of the leading zealots of Judaism. And at the behest of the high priest would go out and arrest people and take them in chains and bonds and bring them to Jerusalem because they were believing in Jesus Christ. So if he would go back and rebuild any of that way of life, separating from the Gentiles, circumcision of the flesh, and all the laws of Judaism, he makes himself a transgressor. Christ is not behind that. Therefore, Christ cannot be the minister of sin. And so that's what he is telling Peter. He says, if I do that, I'm making myself a transgressor. For I, through law, died to law. Now, that's quite a statement there. What do you mean? Does that mean that you don't keep the laws and commandments of God? No. It means this. I, through law, what does the law say the wages of sin is? Death. To law, that is to the law of justification by works, he died. That's what it means. In order that I may live to Christ. Now, when he died, that's a reference to baptism because we are co-joined into his death, as well as crucifixion, verse 20. I've been jointly crucified with Christ, yet I live. However, it is no longer I, in the Greek there is ego, not from the self, but Christ lives in me. And that's the whole goal and purpose of Christians. That through the Spirit of God, Christ lives in you. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I live by faith. That very faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness is through law, then Christ died in vain. Now let me explain verse 21 here. if righteousness, which is the spiritual standing before God the Father in heaven above, having your sins forgiven and being blameless, came through any law, there would be no need for Christ to have died. The reason being this, all you would have to do is read that law and obey it. But you see, the law does not really change the heart the way the Spirit does. And so now, let's go to the book of Romans, and let's see the justification by faith. And then after that, we will go to the book of Acts, and we will see why then Paul was so hard on Peter concerning this very thing in Galatians, the second chapter. Now then, let's come to Romans 3. Romans 3. And let's read a couple of verses here, and we will look right in the book of Romans, and we will get our answer. And we will also understand that because of the improper translation of Romans 3 in the critical verses, it gives the appearance of equating keeping the commandments of God as not necessary. And this is why they claim, the Protestants do, we're Romans 3rd chapter now, okay? This is why the Protestants claim that all 613 commandments found in the law of Moses have been abolished forever. I mean, that is some statement. Okay? Now, let's read it here. Verse 20. Therefore, by deeds of the law, the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Now there are a couple of misleading translations here. The first basic rule in translating Greek is this. Never insert the definite article where there is none. In other words, if you have a definite article in the Greek, you translate it. Where there is not a definite article in the Greek, you do not insert it. And this reflects, really, the bias and misunderstanding of the translators of the New Testament, King James Version. Okay. The first problem is, which is this, therefore by the deeds of the law. Both of those definite articles are not in the Greek and hence in the translation I have done and what we did in the study translation when we studied the book of Romans, all through the book of Galatians and those difficult scriptures. It should read, by works of law. not the works of the law, because that implies a misunderstanding that commandment keeping is not necessary. There shall no flesh be justified. Now go back to Romans 2. And verse 13. Now here is an absolute mind-blowing contradiction within the space of less than a page. If Romans 3 means commandment keeping. Now notice. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. But by works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, does that not appear to be a mind-blowing contradiction? Then you read the next verse. We'll finish this verse. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, and most people don't even understand what he's saying with that. Okay, but the next verse. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Now that is a very unfortunate translation. Without in the English means the absence of law. But if you have the absence of law, what do you have? Lawlessness, anarchy. And that's precisely what the Protestants today believe. Though when William Tyndale translated it, and he translated it essentially this way, he did not understand it that way, because he understood that you have to keep the commandments of God from the bottom ground of your heart. The way he would phrase it, see. Okay. Now this means, now the righteousness of God separate from the law is manifest. That's what it means. Separate from the law. Why is it separate from the law? Because it is a different operation. That's why. Justification is being put in right standing upon repentance. You are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Justification has to do with correcting past sins. The forgiveness of past sins. Okay? Now, let's understand something here. One other statement we need to make. You can never be justified from your past sins while you are still living in sin. I'll repeat that again. You can never be justified from your past sins while living in sin. Because justification forgives past sin. But what must you do before they can be forgiven to make it right through Christ? Repent. Now let's give a couple of examples here in the law of the land of how that you cannot be justified in your sins even if you are law-abiding after you have sinned. What do I mean? Well, I saw a special report on one of these, you know, discovering crimes and so forth, and how this man killed his wife and killed his children and then just disappeared. No one ever found him. Okay? He moved to Denver, and he started out very humbly, and he was clever when he started because he changed his type of living. You know, people are creatures of habit, you see. So he changed that. And he started out as a dishwasher in a restaurant. Okay. Gradually he moved up and changed jobs, and gradually he got back into the same kind of work that he was doing previously. And then on one of these 10 Most Wanted that's on television, they showed his picture, and someone recognized him. And they came and arrested him. Now, why could they arrest him? Because he still had sins that have not been accounted for. Murder. He lived an exemplary life. He didn't even get a speeding ticket. For 20 years. All of his law keeping after his law breaking did not make right the murders that he committed, did it? No. Because you see, commandment keeping is one operation, which we are required to do. The law tells us what sin is, or a violation of the law, and you see it every time you go down the highway. The speed limit is XYZ, and since they have raised it, I haven't gotten a ticket, for which I'm very thankful. Where there is no law, there is no sin, okay? Or where there is a law that functions reasonably, most of the people will not be breaking it. So we have the situation here. It is an entirely different operation. Let's look at it another way. If you have a vase, a glass vase like this one here, and you drop it and you break it, chances are you just sweep it up and throw it away and replace it, right? Okay. Now, if you wanted to put it back together, say it didn't break in a million pieces, say it broke in about, a dozen good, clean pieces, and you glued it back together, okay, you still have a broken vase, don't you? Your gluing back together could not make it new, could it? No. That's the same thing with the forgiveness through Christ. Christ is to make you a new creature. All of man's efforts are like gluing back together the broken vase. Yes, you can make amends. Yes, you can change. Yes, you can overcome alcoholism. Yes, you can quit stealing. Yes, you can do all of those things. But if you have not repented and been forgiven, you cannot be made new. Now, let's go back here to Romans 2 and verse 13 again. And let's see, we have to go back here. Let's go back to verse 3. Now you think this, old man, you that judge them which do such things, that is all of the sins listed here in Romans the first chapter, and you do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God. So we're talking about the judgment of God. And when you sin, it is God's judgment that you have sinned, correct? Because God gave the law, did he not? Yes. Where there is no law, there is no sin. Where there is no law, sin cannot be imputed. That is self-evident, even in the court of this world. Now, here's the key. Verse 4 is the whole key from verse 4 all the way through to the end of Romans 3. That builds the whole case and explains it from beginning to end. Verse 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Now this is Romans 2 and verse 4. And forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The key is repentance. Now then, let's go back. Oh, before we do it, let's read verse 13 again. Okay. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Okay. Justified means made right from past sins. But why are only the doers of the law to be made right from past sins? Because if you correct yourself and repent, you will be justified upon repentance. Now let's notice, let's go back to Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2. Let's look at what happened here. Now, these were all the Jews who were at the temple on Pentecost. Now, if they were at the temple on Pentecost, were they law-abiding Jews? But of course, they wouldn't have been at the temple if they weren't keeping Pentecost, correct? Meaning that they also kept the other commandments of God. However, do you suppose that all of them were sinless? Of course not. They all had past sins that they needed forgiven, correct? But they were doing the law. Now notice what happened. When they said, what shall we do? Peter said, verse 38, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, which then is the instrumentality, the formal covenantal instrumentality of forgiveness and justification. To formally, in a covenant agreement, put you in right standing with God through the righteousness of God in sending Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind. Okay. Repent and believe, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. when you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have been justified before God. Nowhere does this give license to do away with commandments or laws. Justification is the operation of the forgiveness of past sin. Justification cannot be accomplished by law, because justification is the means of correcting sin. Law is the means of defining sin. It is a separate operation to justify sin or make right past sin. But you cannot be justified while living in sin, though you seek to do so. Let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter, and we will see that. Acts, the 8th chapter. The story of Simon Magus. He was still living in sin, was he not? Yes. Even though he was baptized, he had not repented. So remember this, without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there is no justification. You are still in your sins. You cannot be justified in your sins. You are only justified from your sins upon repentance. Okay? Now let's see the account here. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part or lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God, because there's no repentance." Okay? You cannot be justified in your sins. You can only be justified from your sins when you have repented. "Repent, therefore," which he did not do, "of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Now let's come back to Romans 2 and let's see how this is all keyed upon repentance. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. And there is no justification of past sins unless there is forgiveness, unless there is repentance. That's why the sorrow of the world never works godliness. Okay? Simon Magus had the sorrow of the world. He said, "Oh, will you pray for me, that none of these things come upon me?" All right, now let's go back to verse 4 again here. "Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." Now here's what happens if you don't repent. "But after your hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Now, that's almost identical in just different words of what Peter told Simon Magus, right? Yes. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them by patient continuance in well-doing, which is keeping the commandments of God and loving the brethren and loving his neighbor as himself, seek for glory and honor and immortality, God is going to give them eternal life. But unto them who are contentious, and unrepentant, and do not obey the truth, what is truth? Your word is truth, your law is truth, your commandments are truth, all your precepts are true and altogether righteous. Showing there has to be obedience. Okay. Now let's continue on here. Who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Now what is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness is sin. Here again, you cannot be justified in your sins. You must be justified from your past sins. Now, here's what happens when you obey unrighteousness. Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anger, unto every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. See, so now God is judging every man, every person. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that is working good. So there are the benefits of keeping the commandments of God. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now meaning that through Christ, genealogies do not count. Physical things such as circumcision does not count. Letter of the law is accepted if you repent of past sins, but if you don't, letter of the law does not also count for eternal life. It may qualify you for the second resurrection, but not the first. Okay, now verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone that is working good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many have sinned without law, and now that means separate from the knowledge of the law. They didn't know such a thing as the Ten Commandments existed. Okay, shall perish also without the knowledge of the law. They're still going to die. As many have sinned in the law, that is, in the knowledge of the law, shall be judged by the law. Now, this shows you very clearly that the law is binding, isn't it? Yes, no doubt about it. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Okay? Then he goes on to show that circumcision, if you break the law, is meaningless. Uncircumcision, if you keep the law, the righteousness of the law, is counted for circumcision. Again, showing no physical thing can accomplish a spiritual means. Now, let's come back here and we'll finish the last part of Romans 3, and I think this will become abundantly clear now. Verse 20. Therefore, by works of law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The reason being, by law is the knowledge of sin. Law was never meant to justify sin before God. Now, what law is this talking about? Obviously, it cannot be referring to law-keeping such as the Ten Commandments, because it says the doers of the law shall be justified. This has to refer to the laws of sacrifice, which are works of law, which did justify to the temple. That's number one. Number two, works of law can refer to any religious work of law of any religion of any form in the world designed to give justification in that religion, such as with Catholicism. Confess your sins to the priest. You don't confess them to God. Okay, so that's not real repentance. The priest then gives you a work of his law. You go do 200 Hail Marys and 500 Our Fathers. And you go give to Catholic charity and you help feed the poor and your sins are forgiven. That is a work of law which never justified anyone. You can take the same thing with the rosary of the Buddhist, the rosary of the Orthodox, the rosary of the Muslims. They all have prayer beads. So by works of law shall no flesh be justified, because by law is the knowledge of sin. That is the function of the law. The function of the law cannot forgive, because it is only something written in tables of stone or on paper. You can never go to the Bible and say, Bible, forgive me my sins. Now, of course, that seems ridiculous, but, you know, the law tells you what sin is. You open the Bible and it says you shall not commit adultery. If you repent and stop committing adultery, then you can be justified upon forgiveness of sin when you repent. Justified for the forgiveness of that sin when you repent. Okay, now notice. Now, the righteousness of God separate from the law is manifest. Now, why is the righteousness of God manifest? Because God is so great and good and righteous that he would provide this means of forgiveness, which is separate from the law, however, is manifest being witnessed by the law and the prophets, because they witnessed of the coming Messiah and this kind of forgiveness of those who would believe. Even the righteousness of God, and this righteousness then is achieved by justification, which is by faith of Jesus. You have to believe in him. Unto all and upon all of them that believe, there is no difference. Upon them that believe versus those who offer a work of law. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all need justification. Now, here's how you are justified. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace, you can't pay for it, you can't work for it, you cannot earn it, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, that is a continual mercy seat, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So justification forgives sins which are past. Law-keeping and commandment-keeping keeps you from sinning in the present. And you must repent before you're forgiven. And in your repentance, you must resolve to keep the commandments of God so that you are justified from your sins rather than in your sins. Now notice this is the purpose of the gospel, verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Now the Jews boasted, didn't they say, when Jesus said, if you obey the truth will set you free? Said, we're in bondage to no man. We're Abraham's seed. And what did he say? I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're still sinning. So they can't boast. By any religion? No, they can't boast. By any court of law? Nope.